Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. Mariam, can you start the roll call? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Zane. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCET Bylaws call on 10th of May 2017 at 1200 UTC. On the call today, we have Fazani Badi, Rafiq Damak, Tatiana Tropina, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Fazani.
Thank you very much, Mariam. Hello and welcome, everyone. So there are two things that I first want to talk to you about, but we don't have, we only have, okay, Michael shared. Great. So there are two things. One is that these comments and these changes that we make, and some of them we have to discuss, in order to inform our members about the changes, I thought that we carry out the discussions here and on the executive committee mail list until we have the final wording, and then we send this to NC, we send these changes to NCUC mailing list for their consideration for a couple of days so that they know. That's, I think that's an okay approach, and we could potentially just, you know, this, the questions that I sent yesterday, I could post this on the mailing list. But I don't know if how much feedback we are going to get. And now that we don't have the framed clauses and sentences, whether this will bring on obscurity. So I suggest that we first discuss on executive committee mailing list with the former chairs and executive committee members and everyone, and then just send all the changes to the mailing list and tell them these are the changes that we have done in accordance to suggest. So this was one thing. I can see support from Tatiana. Okay. So let's go to the my second question is about our upcoming meetings. The thing is that it seems like May and June are like really, really busy times. Either people are traveling and are at conferences, or they are holidaying. So what I wanted to, hello NCUC, it's good to see you. what I wanted to ask you is that I suggest that instead of having these meetings, we just go and we just get things done today until whatever page we can. Then I'm going to go through all the comments, the rest of the comments. I'm going to itemize them, and I'm going to send the executive committee mailing list a bunch of these questions, and then we can discuss them on the mailing list and make the changes in the document based on the mailing list discussion. So I think, hello Renata. So I suggest instead of having more meetings, we just do this. This is quicker. We have had these bylaws comments since December. We have to get them done. So let's go to our source of joy. We are at page number 11. I'm going to share the Google Doc here. We are page number 11. We have done until paragraph section I, the vice chair. So one comment that Ken has made is to remove C, the chair resigns before the term is finished. So he suggests that that we just say a member of the EC may be designated as vice chair by a majority vote of the EC and take over the duties if the chair resigns. So he says that it is not necessary to have before the term is finished. I think that's a valid point. We don't need to really clarify that. I mean, it's kind of like obvious that before the term is finished. Okay, so okay, I just accepted it. Now, now we go to the treasurer. The EC shall elect a treasurer, and then the treasurer will be nominated to the EC by the chair with notification to the membership. So Ken says, NCUC membership, can anyone in the membership object to the nomination of the treasurer? I, to be honest, considering how NCUC functions, I don't think, oh, I can see Tatiana's hand is up. If, Tatiana, would you like to comment now?
Yes, absolutely. Didn't we have requests for review and whatever challenging EC decision procedure just above these provisions?
It's just about this one, but I think generally for the nominations or the appointments,
appointments so also decision.
He's asking, but we do have a challenge. We do have a paragraph on challenging EC decisions. Does that removal? The members can challenge the removal of an officer or a member.
Okay, okay. Removal, but not appointment. Okay.
But the thing is that if we expand this challenging right, then we might not be able to appoint someone for a long time for a position, and then that position is going to be unfilled for a long time, and we can't do things. And we have seen these situations before. So I suggest that we say that no, they cannot challenge an appointment. They elected the EC beforehand, so they should kind of trust the EC decisions.
But yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I don't think it should be challenged.
Okay, great. So I just answered that. Renata and Michael, do you have an idea? Do you agree? So our question is, Ken is asking, can anyone in the membership object to the nomination? I don't think people should be able to object to the nomination. They can object to process and everything. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. So let's go to the next point that he's making. He's saying that if three EC members fail to vote within 2 weeks of the nomination, the chair shall appoint the treasurer. Then Ken says there should be a general provision about what happens if the EC fails to act, vote in the time specified. It has to be repeated everywhere, repeated everywhere a decision is mentioned. Actually, we do have a provision like that. It's section 4C9, which I have noted under his comment, which says whenever EC votes are required by the charter, but inaction by the members of the EC prevents tasks and duties required by the charter to execute it, the chair is empowered to act to further the interest of the constituency. Therefore, we don't need such a provision. We have it already. And you all agree with me, right? Okay. Right, let's go to the next one. I actually looked for that paragraph. Okay, so let's go to. Sorry, everyone. I was explaining to you at the paragraph 3 on page 11, which when I got disconnected. So really, to make this paragraph clearer, I thought it would be good to have the word already in there. So if the treasurer is not an EC member already, he or she shall be a non-voting member of the EC and shall be expected to participate in all EC meetings. So, what okay, so what I added was already. Rafiq, do you want to add to this? So this paragraph is really for when the treasurer.
Okay. Hello, Rafiq speaking. So yeah, I think the idea here is that the treasurer is not necessarily someone elected to the EC, and so we can appoint someone from outside, and in that case, he should be non-voting member. So, but yeah, I mean, which is I think the current situation now.
you, Rafi. I keep losing you. So, yes, that's our current situation. That's the situation with Milton, who is our treasurer. And then he's not an elected representative on EC, but he is a non-voting member of the EC. And we should definitely ask him to participate in all EC meetings, one by one. Right, let's go to the next one. So I added already in the third paragraph, in paragraph three. Do you think that already is well placed? Is it like grammatically correct? Does it clarify things? I also explained something to Ken under his comments. All right, so if there are no other comments, let's go to the next. It seems like my already is not hated, so I just added that. Let's go to the next item, which is the policy committee, section 5D. So section 5D essentially says that if the PC member fails to perform his or her duty, the executive committee can take a decision to remove the member and perform a reappointment. Now, Ken says there should be a general provision as to what constitutes non-performance among committee members and how to address such matters. But I have a feeling that we have said this before, what we mean by non-performance. I will look for it. I think it's in IV6. I might be wrong. Give me a second to find it. Yeah. So also, there is another thing that we also in our procedural rules are going to clarify these non-performance and the situation where someone is not performing. We can't go into much details here. So I suggest that we address this more vigorously in our procedural rules about what we mean by non-performance, because we have the general clauses. Tatiana, I will give it to Laura anyway. We have the general clauses on accountability and on good performance and stuff in our charter, so we can add to that what we really mean in the procedural rules. Go ahead, Tatiana.
No, first, I agree with you. What I was going to suggest is more complicated. No, let's address it in other documents seriously. I like your suggestions much more. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm just going to argue here that we will address this in our procedural rules. A lot of work for the procedural rules. But, Mariam, can we have a – I'm going to send you an action item in a minute. Okay, sorry about that. Now, let's go to page 13. Page 13 has not, oh wow, there's no comments on page 13. Am I seeing this correctly? Yeah, yes, okay. So let's go to page 14. So Ken says here that we should get rid of number B, voting members, and we should just say voting list. But then if you read this section B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we don't really mean voting, we mean voting members. So I suggest rejecting this merely because we mean voting members. We don't mean voting list. We talk about voting list, but we talk about other things as well. Okay. Okay, so Tatiana and Renata, the NCUC, is agreeing with me and Michael. Great. Okay. Now, on the same, like, section B, voting members, in paragraph 3, it says that the following individuals are ineligible to serve as the official representative of their organization for the purposes of voting. So Ken says, this provision should be relocated to section 3, membership in particular official representative. I disagree with this because we do specifically say for the purpose of voting, and this is our voting section. So I don't know why he's suggesting that, but I suggest we keep it as is. As is. Okay. All right. So then we go to 3B. 3B, we are still on page 14 on voting members, 3B. An individual who holds any form of permanent or temporary paid position with ICANN, including independent contractors who have served ICANN in paid positions within the last 6 months. If such an individual is identified, previously we had, if such an individual is identified on the voting list of the constituency, Ken has removed on the voting list of the constituency and has framed it as this. If such individual is identified at any time by any member or officer, which I think makes it better. So it doesn't have to be on the voting list. If a member notices this by any time or like any time. Then the chair provides notice to the member organization requesting a replacement. What do you think about this change? Essentially, we didn't review that one. I think it's a fine change, but I have to go back to what Traffic just pointed out that I didn't review. Okay, so let me just, I think we agree with this. So we are on paragraph 3B now, and we are going to accept that if such an individual is identified at any time by any member or officer, then the chair shall provide notice to the member organization requesting a replacement. I think that's good. Okay. I agree with this. Okay. Now he also, let's go with the same paragraph and then we go up. Then he also says replace substitute with a replacement. To be honest, I don't really know the the difference between the substitute and the replacement, in a sense that it makes a huge difference. I don't know. Michael, can yeah, I am okay with the uh, I'm okay with this as well. Renata, I'm going to go back to your comment after we've resolved this, but let's accept replacement. I think it's better language. I don't know why, I have a gut feeling.
So sometimes they do offer us a better language.
Yes. Yes, I believe. Okay. Now, can an alternative representative serve as proxy pending replacement of the OR, of the official representative? Don't we have something kind of about the OR that they can have an alternative representative as well somewhere in the bylaws? So Rafiq, maybe you can help us here. So Ken is saying, if the alternative representative can act as a proxy pending replacement of the official representative. So he means that if the official representative is out due to this reason, the alternative representative can vote in replace of that person. I think we have a provision somewhere. Yeah. Yes, Renata, that is true. We have one OR and one AR, and I think we do give them the right to vote. It has to be in our membership page. So I'm going to go a little bit up. We were on page 14. I think it's under our organization, eligible organization. And then, let me just make this another action item. This is not a huge issue. I think they do have the right to vote. The AR, the alternative representative, has the right to vote in this situation as well. But I can also add it to the. Oh, Rafiq, go ahead. Please take the mic. I don't see the Adobe room. So anyone that wants to take the mic, just interrupt me. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Okay. Thanks, Farzana. My understanding here that if we think there is a problem, we need to notify them. So I'm not sure that we can make a decision and to change automatically the voting right to alternate. So I would say it's kind of we cannot force an organization to put someone as a voting, but the idea here is to inform them and asking for substitution. Maybe they can clarify and so on. But are we sure that the alternate has, because the thing, we allow them even to have more than one alternate, so how you will make the decision and so on. So I guess the idea here is to, if we notice an issue, is to inform the organization and asking them in due time to make a replacement, at least in term of a primary representative for the voting purpose.
Okay, so I think I hear an echo. So I think what we could do, we could say that we just informed, we just keep it like this. We inform the organization, and then if the organization wants, the alternative representative can vote or become the kind of official representative, right? I think this is like a very minor issue, really. I I will, however, put this. We could also ask the list, or we can discuss it among ourselves more. Let me just put this as an action item and then see. Okay, let me just put this an action item. So yes, that's true. Renata, actually, I was looking for that. Thank you for that. It's called additional representative. It's not called alternative representative. Okay. But then, can this all additional representative vote in case the official representative is not eligible anymore to be a part of NCUC? This is what Ken is asking.
So, Fazani, I think we are allowing them to have several additional or alternate representatives. So maybe they have at least one, but if they have two or three, so that's why we just inform them and they make the decision to appoint quickly someone as a replacement. So I'm not sure if, because how we can make it automatically, unless we start to ask them to put a primary, not sure if secondary, but secondary alternate and so on, and to have some ranking like that. So you think it will be make it things more complicated than it is? Because this it's quite I think extreme case that an organization has an individual as a representative who is have some kind of paid position with ICANN, which is even something really linked to ICANN policy. It's a quite, I think, rare case.
Okay, so I'm just going to respond that add this paragraph E So I'm going to say that we have this provision, and if they have additional representative, they will become automatically the representative, and they have the right to vote. If they don't have additional representative, then they should appoint one. Then they should appoint an official representative. So I don't think we need to do anything here. We have it in our bylaws. Okay. I just responded. If you want to check my response, we are on page 14 now. Right. Let's go. Rafiq, your hand's up.
Thanks, Farzana. Maybe I am kind of jumping here to the other suggestion by Ken, maybe not suggestion by Ken, but just wondering if the 7 days prior to any voter election is realistic here or not, because we kind of fix, I think, the list, voting list prior to that, but maybe it's not an issue since it's just the vote list is about the organization, but we can change the representative without a problem. Just I want to double check here, but maybe it's not a big problem, in fact.
So the thing is that what we have to consider is having these time limits sometimes can be really impractical. Like, but I understand why we have the 7 day time limit, because we don't want them to appoint someone else who has like conflict of interest or is ineligible to be able to vote. So I agree with you. Maybe we can reduce it down to 4 days, because, well, if you remember our last emergency election, we gave them like 3 days.
Thanks, Farzana. I guess it's also related to the check-in process when it's finished. Because our current practice now is kind of related to the fact we are using Tally, and that's why we try to prepare the list sometime before. Even till now, it's quite close, just 1 or 2 days before. So I think 7 days is quite fair time. But just maybe you clarify prior to any vote or election. It's just maybe to say saying the starting day, just to be kind of more accurate here, because like Tally system, if we start, I think we cannot change, cannot make changes in the list, something like that. So maybe
you mean prior to a check-in process starts?
Not the check-in, just I think it's about the voting. Because it's an organization that can participate in the check-in, just to confirm that they are still an active member, but to ask them just to change their representative. Okay, I think maybe I'm just making things more complicated. So I'm happy just to drop that. I'm thinking if it may raise some issues or not, but maybe it's not.
Keep it that way for the moment. No, he wasn't, Renata. He was. He wanted to shorten it, but then let's keep it this way for the moment and then see what we can do. Okay, so the other language changes that I see in this paragraph are not really controversial. The actual language. So he says that we should say the chair shall. I'm reading paragraph 3B on page 14. So I'm reading the second sentence. If such an individual is identified at any time by any member or officer, the chair shall provide notice to the member organization requesting a replacement. Official representative who satisfied a replacement. Wait a minute. Why do I have official representative here again? A replacement official representative who satisfies the criteria in section 3. If such a replacement is not named at least 7 days prior to any vote or election, the member organization will be ineligible to participate in that vote and election. I hope you're seeing all the changes. Yeah, this is an okay language, so it's fine. So I'm just going to But there is one important change that he's done. We use the language the election, the vote or election. He uses the language any vote or election. So it's kind of like this applies to all the elections that we're going to hold, which I think is fine. This is what we meant anyway. Right. Let me just access all this. Okay. Right. There's one thing I missed. It was B2 on the voting list. Voting members. Okay. So voting members, number. I think it was number 2. So voting lists will be made available to be made available to be reviewed by the entire NCUC. Membership. So Ken says Ken has actually added this and says that voting lists will be made available to be reviewed by the entire NCUC membership. Rafiq, is that like customary? We do that, right? Can you please take the floor? You did election guard.
Thanks, Hosanna. What we ask people, the voting list should be available sometime before when we do the check-in process and ask people to double-check. So I'm not sure here the language reviewed by the entire NCC membership is what the purpose, but it's just about letting the members to check that the information is correct and that their check-in was correctly recorded. I think that's a fine change. Just to be sure that we have the same understanding about the meaning of to be reviewed here. Because I'm kind of concerned, yeah, is also we are saying kind of here, it's an opportunity. Sorry, I'm just concerned here if it means also an opportunity for members to challenge other members' eligibility or something like that, which is not the purpose, and that's a different process, I guess. So.
I think that actually, you know, I have a problem with this word reviewed. What do we mean by review? We are like broadening this language. We say that the list has to be available so that they go and check their name, not that they go and say, oh, I object to this list, or why is this person voting. So I think this word review, available to be reviewed by the entire NCUC membership. I think we just say available to the entire NCUC membership. And then if they ask available to do what, just check your names.
Yeah, thanks, Roseanne. I think that's the point I want to raise. Just, hi, Roseanne. It's Rafiq speaking. I think that the point I want to raise is just I'm concerned that we open this kind of freely an opportunity for challenging eligibility, which is not the purpose. But what we can say is that the voting list should be published before some X time and to be available to NCUC membership. So that by then, at that time, it allows to members to double check if they are in the list or not, or if their check-in was recorded or not, and that's our current practice. I think the be reviewed is kind of broad, has a broad meaning and can raise a lot of concerns, I think. So.
Yeah, exactly. So what we should do is that we should just not accept Ken's addition. And then if you can look at this, in paragraph one, the chair shall publish on the website a list of the official representative of all active organizations and a list of active eligible individual members 30 days prior to the election. I think this includes everything you said. So it should be available to the members 30 days prior to the election. And so let's just not accept this addition. What do you think? Okay, let me just write a response to this. Rafiq, I didn't see that. I sent apologies. I said I can't attend. I'm going to be honest, my responsibilities are done. There are like two other rapporteurs, co-rapporteurs on that group. But feel free to. Oh, hi, Ines. Both Michael and Rafiq, I know you're both co-rapporteurs. So, I mean, I know you are both reporters, so go ahead. Michael, your hand is up. Okay. So that was a wrong hand? Okay. Oh, okay. Right. So as I said, feel free to go to leave and go to the co-chairs and rapporteurs meeting. I prefer to stay here and just finish this thing. Okay. So I just responded on paragraph two. Ines, we are on page 14. We are now going to discuss paragraph four on page 14, paragraph B4, the checking process. What he's done here, I don't see like much of like substantive changes. Ken says that the paragraph on this, I think it's the third sentence. If after reasonable attempts fail to reach a member or its representative and confirmation of contact information cannot be completed, that member's status, so he added status, will be changed to inactive. Before we had the member will be moved to the inactive members list. I think this is a good change. And an announcement will be made on the public discussion list. An inactive member will not be included in the membership count. We had before once on the inactive member list, they will not be included on the election, on the count. So I think this is a good English, correct. It has corrected the English in this paragraph, and I wrote this. An inactive member can be reinstated to active status by updating its contact. So it was before he removed from the inactive members list and then be active again. So it's like purely, this is all very good English grammar and sentence changes. So I'd say that we just accept this, whatever he said in this paragraph. Accepting it. Okay. Right. Alright. And then he says that an inactive member may remain on the inactive list indefinitely. So we had can remain. So he has changed can remain. So let's go to number five. Members who respond to the NCUC check-in process are deemed active members. We had as active members. So he has gotten rid of as, which is a good change. Wow, a lot of good changes in this paragraph by Ken. Right, let's go to paragraph C. We are on page number in paragraph C. Right, paragraph C, he voting weights, active members only. This has been added by Ken. And I think this is a very, very good clarification. Although I'm not very sure about like being in parentheses and in the title of the paragraph, but I think this means that only I vote, and this is the voting. Yeah, I will accept this. And then let's page. Let's go to page 15. It says national chapters. Again, we had this discussion yesterday. I sent a question to the mailing list. Let's see what others say about national chapters. But let's not forget to go back to here and address it. So I'm just going to assign this to myself. Okay. Now, we are on page 15, paragraph C1. Ask organizations that have more than 50 employees. So Ken says remove active, because the title was changed to active only. So I think that's a good change. I accepted it. Ines, you have disagreement on your button on. Are you disagreeing with something? Is that a disagreement button or a B button? No, it's a busy button. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a step away button. Okay. Right. So let's go to the second paragraph, which says organizations that are composed of 10 or more organizational members that qualify as large shall be classified as large organization and shall have 4 votes. Ken says, can this provision be incorporated into one? It seems conflicting or duplicative when listed separately. So I think there is no problem with that. It doesn't, as long as it doesn't mess up our numbering. So, but then we have to consider that this is making another point, which is a little bit different from the first paragraph, which says that large organization has, but then this is a clarifying paragraph on the second one. I think we should keep it as is. Go ahead, Rafi.
Thanks, Farzana. Since it's discovering, let's say, the size of organization through the number of employees or individual members, I was wondering if it's this kind of opportunity just to double check this. Again, the NCAG, way to describe large and small organization. I'm not sure. I'm trying to check now, but I think there is maybe some difference, which can be tricky if that organization may have different voting way between NCAG and NCUC, and that's kind of I think challenge for the executive committee to handle that correctly, because maybe some organization can be large by NCAG but not by NCUC. So I'm just double checking here. I don't have the number in mind, but it's something maybe. We are using. I think we are using the NCAG size. So okay, looks okay. Sorry.
Okay. So
this is, I think, the text we are using from.
Okay. So just.
We are using NCAG text.
Okay, good. I'm just going to say we are using NCSG charter text here. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your comment. We decided not to accept. Okay. Now, it says that, then we go to paragraph 4, it says, individual person, so he has gotten rid of active eligible individual person. Why has he done this? Well, active, I understand. Eligible, I don't understand. Do you agree with getting rid of eligible? Yeah, active, I understand. But eligible... So, but active, in our definition of active and the definition of active and eligible, actually we kind of parallelize them, equalize them. We mean by active we mean eligible. Actually, I think that's what we did. Rafiq, your hand is up. Go ahead. Okay, so I think that was an old hand. So I think this is an okay change, since we say active is eligible. Let's just accept this. Okay. So let's go. D. The executive committee shall, as needed, determine further procedure for nomination and voting. Ken says, are there such procedure, and if so, this would be a good time to include in the charter. No, we are doing this in our operational. We are already considering this for in our procedural rules. I just have tell Mariam to put that as an action item for our procedural rules. Okay, sorry, I just action item procedural rules. Executive committee, blah blah blah. Let's go. So, let's go to the next one. It's paragraph E. Oh, no, I think I'm missing some. No. Yeah, it's paragraph E. It says that the vote of members shall be kept confidential. The EC may appoint a trusted constituency member who is not a candidate or an impartial non-member ICANN or GNSO officer to audit any election or proceeding in which member votes are solicited. We had before to audit the votes. I think this is more comprehensive and good. So I think it's acceptable. What do you think? Yeah. Hey, NCC Renata, where are you? Okay, good. You know, Renata, you can actually change your name without having to get out of the room. But it's fun. It's fun to have NCUC as an attendee. Okay. Right. Then Ken has... then Ken says that under what circumstances might an audit be conducted in the same paragraph. The vote of members shall be kept confidential. The EC may appoint a trusted who is not a candidate or an impartial member to audit. Wonder what circumstances might an... this is a complicated question. So he is asking under what circumstances we should have audits to be conducted. So we could have it when there is a challenge, when someone is challenging the votes. Do we want to just limit it to that for the audit? Or so I think this is a complicated question. We can just send it to Rati to type in.
Hi, Farzana. Yeah. I mean, hi, Farzana. Sorry. I mean, we never had such situation before in terms of audit, since the election officer is already an independent third party, which is usually the ICANN staff. And I think in such case, we have to kind of maybe to... kind of maybe work on some procedure and how to work, because it's really need to be detailed. I don't think that should be in the charter in terms of details. Just we have the provision that there is a possibility to audit. Okay, I guess maybe I just mentioned that the details of the audit and the procedure process that will be elaborated in operating procedure, something like that. So,
okay. So should we just like pass this through our procedural rules? The circumstances will be elaborated. Okay, I just added the sentence. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go to the office. I think he's doing some job on the side as well. He's quite like forcefully typing, right? So, added a sentence to this paragraph to clarify. And then leaving office, he says that I recommend creating a generic officers and designated representation in which this and other provisions pertaining to criteria, participation, removal are combined. I think this is not a bad suggestion, but if we do this, we have to change a lot of things. Yeah, so we have to work. It's going to prolong this. It's a good suggestion. Thank you. But we don't think it's necessary at this stage, right? Okay. It's a good suggestion. But necessary. Okay, leaving office. And the first paragraph. We say an elected officer or appointed committee may submit an email to resign, then he's changed email to written. And if you read legal documents, there is a lot of controversies over what written means. So then we don't want them to mail it to us. I suggest not accepting it, and we just stick with email. No, you see? No, just email. Let's just stick with email. Just send an email. What if email goes extinct in, 10 years? Use blockchain. Okay. So we don't accept this. We go to paragraph C. Yes, Tanya, we have to talk whether we should call this operating rules or procedural rules. This is something that we can... we are now on page 15, Ines. After, section 7, leaving office, paragraph C. So it says... Tatiana is raising a good point. She is asking whether we should change these operating rules to procedural rules. I have seen that a lot of the other constituencies and stakeholder groups use operational. Yeah, exactly. So, maybe we just, instead of calling ours procedural rules, we call them operational rules. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Tatiana, I think we have to think about what we are gonna name it. Name our NCUC. Yeah. Okay, operational change procedural rules to operational rules. Okay. All right. It's called operational procedure, so that's fine. Now, paragraph D, so you are talking about section BII, section 7, leaving office, paragraph D. When any member of the EC or any other NCUC committee has failed to meet participation criteria as is specified in section C above, the chair, after consulting with members, may appoint a temporary replacement to finish the remaining term of the resigning representative. So, I think this is a fine change. So this is a fine change. Let's do this. But then he says that section C above does not deal with participation. I think it was not C, it was something else, I can't remember. Can someone look into this and see which section we had that talking about non-participation? I'm going to put it as an action item. Okay, let's check this. This we have to check for later. I'm just going to do this. Just going to accept the VD to be checked for consistency. Okay, so I'd like someone to volunteer for this. Let's just check it later. So, maybe I assign this to Renata for the moment so that she gets a nice buzz. Oh, I can't assign it. Why is she not there? Oh, yeah. There. Okay. So, Renata, not that Ivalin told you, but... So, let's go to section E. Let me accept all these changes. Participation criteria. Okay. So the standards for performing, we are talking about paragraph E. The standards of performing the duties of NCUC leadership positions include impartiality, accountability, and avoidance of conflict of interest. NCUC officers are expected to be fair and responsible stewards of NCUC activities. The chair, in particular, is expected to look after the general interest of the NCUC and be responsive to all the members and officers in their request for information. What Ken is saying is that that we need a section on principles be added to the charter in which this and ICANN standard of behavior are referenced. A section on principles. So, Tatiana, you disagree? Tell me. So he is kind of saying that we should reference it. And we have already referenced it, if you remember, ICANN standard of behavior somewhere. For good action or something like that, when we wanted to so he is saying we should just reference it. So I don't think this what he's suggesting adds to anything. We have the, but it might be that the principles, the thing is that it is easy to have a section on principles. We just go and, easy, it requires a couple of things to do. We are discussing, Rafiq, we are discussing leaving office, which is section 7. On E, we have laid out some principles for standards of performing duties for NCUC. Ken says that we need to have a section on principles and also reference ICANN standard of behavior. I agree with him that in leaving office is maybe what we have in E might not be like the best fit for leaving office, but yeah, don't know. Tatiana, do you want to take the floor?
Hi. I seriously don't think that adding this section really adds anything. Like, we can just simply refer to the ICANN expected standards of behavior. Standards of expected behavior. What I really think, how I understood this comment, somehow I understood. I got it wrong. So I saw that he also wants us to write about these standards, but he says referenced. Well, Farzi, if you think that it's okay job to do, why not? But I just don't think it really improves a lot. It's just restructuring.
Rafiq, go ahead.
Thanks, Farzani. I'm kind of concerned that we have to, he's suggesting we add a new section principle. That's really, it's not going to be easy because it needs a lot of even discussion with the membership. So I think we add some stuff in the beginning to explain our kind of the mission and so on. And also I have kind of concern about referencing the ICANN standard of behavior. While we have to live with that in ICANN meetings and working group and so on, we may not kind of agree on some points with that standard ourselves for some reason. And I do think it's up really to us as a constituency to define what we think is the behavior we are expecting. And maybe we can even refer to what NCSG says on that matter, because at least we are supposed to be aligned with NCSG. The ICANN standard of behavior can be changed by the board any time. And so I don't want that we link us to something we don't really have a say on it. And I'm not in favor of adding a new section, because that's it will really need a long discussion, so it's not that straightforward, and not to refer to the ICANN standard of behavior, but maybe you can refer what to NCSG says, that since we have to be aligned with that charter anyway.
Yeah, okay. So can you suggest the language here? But then we have mentioned ICANN standard of behavior in the charter somewhere. I can't remember where it was when we were like defining good.
Tatiana is speaking. We mentioned them because we had something like bad behavior or something like this, and we really had to be clear about this. When we finish all the corrections, we might go back and see if Rafik's suggested language can be used for constituency. So, but kind of later. I think there it was okay reference to ICANN's expected standards of behavior because we didn't find any better reference. If there would be a better reference, we can just go back and revise.
It was an old hand, but maybe you are asking me to volunteer for this, to find a text or a suggestion. And also concur with Tatiana. We have really now to double check, because we either like using some for constituents like operating a procedure and so on, just to check that we. And I think it's for everyone to do so. But okay, I can have it an action item. Woo!
Yes, it is an action item and assigned to you. Let me just put that for Mariam. I mean, I can just put it as an action item. It's VIE. Okay. So, Rafik, is that an old hand? Okay. Right. Let's go to, I think we can just end the meeting today. I think we've done enough. So I can see.
Okay.
I can see a lot
For example, sorry, before just joining the call, I think that we had that this suggestion, but if you can maybe follow up after this, Not today, hopefully. I think something that really helped us a lot in our work is to make kind of issue list. It's just maybe to if someone can summarize the kind of really substantive comments from Ken and put them from discussion, so you guys can continue the discussion, the main list, and the way that you can make more progress, and that also people can go through the document directly. So just suggestion to move forward. But I think you made a lot of progress in today. So thanks.
Okay. What is this turtle? Okay, cool. So, as I said in the beginning of the meeting, I think we are going to be very busy for the next couple of weeks, and we have to just get this done. So what I suggest is this: in my free time, I'm going to take out all the issues that Ken has raised, the ones that we have not solved from section 8 on page 16, if I'm not mistaken, yes. So from page 16, section 8, I'm going to take out all the comments that really need discussion, and I'm going to bring it to the executive mail, a committee mailing list. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to, yes, I sometimes have free time when I'm eating. So I'm going to bring all that to the executive committee mailing list. Then what I'm going to do is that we're going to discuss, we are going to go on the Google Doc, and we are going to like have a discussion there. So this is thank you, Renata. That's really good. So this is, I think, this is what we should do, and just get rid of this. It's like page 16. We start from page 16, that's pretty good. That's only like four. Of course, a lot of his comments are on those pages. But like there's four or five pages. I will go through that. I will get that to you by next week. We discuss it on the mailing list. So we don't have a deadline, actually, but I want this to be done before the Johannesburg meeting. So I want it to be kind of like submitted to the board. What we are going to do is that I'm going to take out everything. It's a good idea to have a deadline. So by Tuesday, I'm going to relay all the issues that needs to be resolved I just put all the issues that need to be resolved on Tuesday next week. And then for 1 week, we discuss and we try to resolve. And after that week, on the 20th, when Tatiana is not around, on the 20th, we are not going to have a call. We are going to ask someone to do a diff document for us, for the members to see the differences. I will have a meeting with Rob, or I will send you an email and I say, look, this is the document that we have, which is ready. What should we do? He probably says, send it to the board. Then we send it to the board. Do you like that solution? Okay, great. So, but just be responsive on the mailing list, and in your spare time, when you are taking a shower or eating, have a look at this NCUC document. Have a look at the question, and let's come up with answers to all the stuff. And we, as you can see, we have like 10 action items. Right, everyone. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to work now. And thank you. Thank you, Mariam. Tatiana wants to talk. Okay. All right. No, she doesn't want to. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Bye. Mariam, can I have the action items? Actually, I'm going to copy paste it now. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the meeting. You may now stop the recording.
Thank you.